This is Rod Peterson on demand. No!
Waiting in line to pay for my groceries, and a lady right in front of me farted. Loudly.
How about that?
I've grabbed a magazine off the rack like this. What makes you think you can wear a mask, but you can stand there and fart?
So now, you know, instead of coughing to hide a fart, now you got a fart to hide a cough in COVID.
We knew this was here was backwards.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Oh, boy. How about that?
How about that?
Don't mind me. I'm just sharing the show, everybody, as we go live on a Flame Tech Football Friday. I'm excited. No breaking news yet, but I'm excited to talk football here on the RP Show, Canada's daytime sports talk show. We got a bevy of guests. Great guests coming up. Dupes joining me here in the bunker for the warm-up. And then John Frenzy, he's here in the house, the Hall of Fame Rough Riders broadcaster, to talk about all things football. We've got our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, coming up in segment two for our weekly Tory's Tips for Wheat and Kia, which it's Friday. Must be Wheat and Kia time, right?
Oh, yeah.
They bring you the John Frenzy appearances, plus Tory Gurley's Tory's Tips. And Drew Tate's going to join us. I'm very excited about that. Good work, Clark, on that. From inside the Spring Leagues and San Antonio bubble in San Antonio, Texas, where they just wrapped up week two of the Spring League season, Drew Tate, CFL veteran quarterback, is going to be joining us. I'm also excited because we're not going to be talking any politics. It's insane. It's dumb. We're done. Lynch is laughing already. We've just dabbled in it, and that was too much over the last week.
Oh, man.
Because we're not yet on national television, I'll just say this, because I don't think I would say it on TV. Lynch is like, Trump got his ass kicked. They're kicking his ass. I said, Lynch, they're in overtime for 3 days. Nobody's getting their ass kicked here. It's that close. Or else I would have been over by now. But anyways, enough about that, because I want to stay in a good mood. And I actually had a lot of NFL points put down here. And then a couple of CFL things came across my radar, which I think we'd rather talk about today, because you can get the NFL stuff and college football anywhere. So let's go, Jordan, Director Jordan, with a quick six show topic, please. Number one, for the football nerds and the hardcores, you saw the announcement from the CFL yesterday that I'm calling it tweaking the draft process. I think they said major changes. And it is pretty major. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think about it?
Changes to it. I mean, you have to adjust. But again, I look at what's the overall impact of the Canadian Football League draft period in terms of the on-field product. We're not drafting Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson here, right? It's just not happening. But you get some really impact Canadians. You get, you know, offensive linemen typically come through the draft. So I don't think it's a big deal. I'm more on the side of you with it being more of a minor tweak than major changes.
I think it's fairly minor, and I will get to those in a moment. John Ohm is watching at Winnipeg. Ohm. He said, did Ambrosi defer again? He did. The commissioner of the CFL was lined up for today. But it's funny. It's now guaranteed Tuesday. And it's funny because Clark has been screenshotting me the text string between he and the league PR guy just to say, this is what's going on, Rod, almost as if I wouldn't believe in it. But Clark, I know you ain't got it handled. And I also know that Randy's a busy guy. I know that. People are writing into our show saying he's dodging interviews. He's this. No. I'm not concerned about any of this. He'll be with us. We're not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. And I think the good news is y'all are very eager for an update from the league. And I know you've been promised it, but I'm told you will get it on Tuesday. But what did he say? Did he defer again? I guess that might be a good way of putting it. And good morning, by the way, Eddie Bankowski, Edmund Bankowski, my first ever statistician, says he's watching from the Queen City. What did you have?
No, I was just going to say, he never was really ever booked. It was, hey, we're going to try and get him on this day.
Yeah.
Well, no, and then all of a sudden couldn't do that day. Now we actually have him booked on the calendar in the schedule, so Tuesday.
Good morning, Les. Good morning, John in Edmonton. Good morning, Katie. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us for coffee. I feel like everybody's in a good mood as we talk about our favorite things today. The CFL draft process, by the way, you could go to rodpeterson.com right now. I think it's the top item running if you want to really go through it with a fine-tooth comb. But they're going to hold a random draw for teams 1 through 9, which I think is very fair. We don't have standings to go off unless they wanted to use the sim standings. And then they're going to do a snake draw like we do in our playoff drafts, right?
Yeah.
So that, and you can, the big one I thought was that if you are eligible for the 2020 draft, you can opt out and be eligible in 2021, which incidentally, the first thing I thought was I would. If I wasn't playing this year, I would.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I like what they've done. I kind of wondered who is doing this, because they did lay off a lot of people in the CFL office, not the least of which is the VP of Player Safety, Kevin McDonald. I just thought, who put together these tweaks? Was this from the GMs? I guess we'll put that to the commissioner. Hey,
yeah.
When he comes on.
Yeah.
Let's go to Norway, where it is 5.05 p.m. Trenton Norway checks in. He says, Norway calling. Seems like the Packers had their way over the 49ers last night. May the Riders win in the CFL sim this weekend. I'm glad the NBA gets a 72-game schedule for ... And it slipped off the screen. And that there it is, for December 22nd. Have a good weekend, everyone. Well, Trent, spoiler alert! It's in all my Quick Six show topics, what he just put out there.
I love how he just, like, you know, writes that to appeal to us, too. Like, that game last night when they, you know, beat up on the 49ers, that was, like, this morning for Trent, wasn't
it? For
him,
yeah,
exactly. Like, 3 or 4 in the morning.
So I'll move on. Point two. Andrew Harris, the reigning MVP of the Grey Cup and the reigning most outstanding player of the Grey Cup game when the Blue Bombers beat Hamilton in Calgary in 2019. Andrew Harris telling Paul Friesen of Post Media yesterday that he is not confident that there will be a season in 2021 for the CFL. And I was on TSN 1290 this morning in Winnipeg talking with Troy Westwood and Jim Toth about this. And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. But can we be real for once? Can somebody be real? I've talked to somebody from just about every team over the last 10 days, and they're not optimistic. And here's the simple reason why. They feel significantly disappointed in their leaders that the league didn't play in 2020. I'll say they're not, that the owners did what was best for themselves. They didn't do what was best for the CFL or the players and coaches. So what the players are thinking is, if they couldn't play in 2020 and nothing's really going to change in the COVID environment in 2021, why would we think that we're going to play in 2021? Right? So I kind of sit back and go, how is this all breaking news that the players can't see them playing next year? How is it breaking news that the NFL and NHL are going to lose billions of dollars? I don't. It's just so obvious.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like breaking news. I would think if you're the odds maker, I think the odds are that they won't play. But, you know, hockey will be interesting to see what happens with hockey now. Traveling, playing in more intimate arenas, the 50% capacities. If they can do that and pull it off 50% then in this country, then I think the CFL is in a lot better shape. But right now, I'd say they're behind the eight ball for sure.
I would be shocked if they even get a 50% capacity.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they do that this year then? So Mandy in Edmonton's watching and she says, how could the players be optimistic after what they went through this year? That's the point. And thankfully, Andrew Harris had the gumption to say it to the Winnipeg Sun that, is there a train going through here?
Yeah.
Did you hear that? Can you hear that?
Yep.
Well, dang, that's close. Is he off the track?
No.
I've never heard the train go through here.
And that's why you need a realtor.
We're out here in the swamp.
Right?
I can't believe it. Dominic Froome writes in, one of our viewers. He says, the CFL cannot financially operate without fans in the stands. Not necessarily. And I'm open, because it's a Flame Tech Football Friday, to talk about that for the next 2 hours if you want. There are other leagues that have said the exact same thing, and they are playing. It was almost, in a way, I think, a game of chicken, because those other leagues are playing despite what they said. And I'm going to throw in a bonus point here. because I said there was some CFL things that came up. The president of the Edmonton Football Club stating they are close to a new nickname. That was the headline on Three Down. Of course, it got me to read it. Chris Presson, I believe, is the name of the president of the Edmonton football team. The actual timeline on naming the team isn't until the spring. I'd love to hear from the Edmonton folk about how you feel about that. They are incredibly disheartened with the way that football team is being run. I'm talking about the fan base. You don't need to go look for it. It's right out there on social media, right?
Yeah.
And I got to say, I hope it's the Edmonton Empire. The guys that I know that have come through there, they're like, if it can't be Eskimos, if we literally deem that that's too offensive, can it at least be the Empire? Because that's kind of been our second nickname for 30, 40 years. And it was the president of the team that said at a news conference that Empire has negative connotations. To what? Darth Vader? Like, can we just stand up and have a backbone and say, this is what it's going to be? Who is that offensive to? And that's where I'm disappointed with the Edmonton football team, because I want it to be the Empire. If it's anything but the Empire, I'm going to be extremely disappointed in the franchise. Your thoughts?
Yeah. With Empire, at least there's some tradition and history there. So to me, it fits kind of both, where it allows a little bit of tradition and history and the history of the team to remain part of it without having the name that may be offensive. So I like it, but if they find that Empire is also offensive, just tell us what it's offensive to, and then we'll all be okay with it.
Will we?
If it's legit, right? Okay, I get it. Or come on, don't be serious. It's not that offensive. So, I like the idea of Empire because it brings some history.
From a viewer, Terry Carrier, he says, LMAO, yeah, all the Jedis will be mad. That's a Star Wars joke, Lynch. And my wife doesn't get the Star Wars references either. She never watched it. My buddy Whiter's watching. Whiter. He says, watching from the Evolution Fitness. Good luck. Shout out to the Pat Canadians tonight. They open up their regular season tonight.
Everybody's playing
tonight. Everybody's playing tonight, which I'll get to. Larry's watching in Medicine Hat, and he says that the Edmonton Elks should be the name. And while that's not overly sexy to me, you still got the Milwaukee Bucks, right?
Yeah.
Fear the deer.
Fear the deer.
You already have your built-in emoji with the deer.
Life is good.
So I guess it could be the Elks. I don't want that. Carlos Legena writes in from Indianapolis. Preach it, Rod. Hashtag Rod's rant. Racket, boys. Can you write that down, Clark? That'll be Rod's rant today. Come on, Edmonton. Have a backbone. To actual football. And what I mean by that is games that are going on the field. I just want to point out to you, dupes, that USA Today's top three teams in the power rankings are these. Do you want to take a guess? Everybody knows Pittsburgh.
One. I would have said Kansas City 1, Pittsburgh 2, Tampa Bay 3.
It's Pittsburgh 1, Kansas City 2, Seattle 3.
Whoa.
And the bottom three. That when I go to these power rankings, I go to the top three and the bottom three immediately. And that might surprise you too. Everybody knows who's the worst team. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
The New York Jets. Gangrene. The 31st team is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are who we thought they were.
Yes.
And number 30.
Dallas.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah.
The third worst team in the National Football League resides in Dallas, Texas. Last Sunday, do you watch NFL Network on Sunday morning?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see Michael Irvin brought out a rescue dog, a stuffed rescue dog with a Cowboys handkerchief? trying to rescue and save the Dallas Cowboys and find them. It's unbelievable how bad they are. Anyways, to point four, the Green Bay Packers really kicked the snot out of San Francisco 34-17 last night. Lynch was telling me how his namesake, John Lynch, is going to want some questions answered. Isn't that what you said, Lynch?
No.
They're the defending NFC champions. The whole team was hurt.
COVID, injuries.
Yeah.
Not a single skill position player that was on the field last night for San Francisco played a single snap in the NFC Championship last year.
Yep.
So,
Mandy says the connotation of empire is British Empire colonialism. I think he spoke about that at a news conference, the president of the Edmonton football team. Here's what I would say about that. Get over it. British Empire colonialism has any connotation to pro football in Canada? Are you kidding me? Don McNeil in Central Ontario says, how does Houston not make the bottom three? From a Texans fan.
They score points.
We're number 30. We're number 30. Everybody's doing the tank for Trevor dance. Number five, it is SJHL opening night. And I literally get a tear in my eye and a lump in my throat. And I think that these kids and my friends and the SJ and your friends too are going to go after it tonight. And Prairie Junior League and the Triple A's, as Whiter writes in, they're not going to be denied. Not folding up their tents and saying, eh. Because there are other leagues that have done it. And I'm not even talking about the CFL. I am so damn proud of the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League specifically, and those that are finding a way to get it done. That is Saskatchewan tough. It still exists. Lynn said to me in the car on the way up, he goes, I thought you were going to be doing SJHL TV. And I said, well, one, Notre Dame's not allowing anybody in the bubble, so that's out. And number two, the SJ just announced its schedule last week. So there's been no television schedule determined yet, from what I understand. But when they are televising games on SaskTel Max, we're going to be a part of it, correct?
Correct.
So, listen, I talk with the SJ guys almost daily, and they're like, just stand by, we'll let you know when you're needed. And I'm like, I'm available.
Me too.
Kelly Bale writes in and says, get over it, get over colonialism. Kelly, calm down. Just calm. I'm not in the mood for a fight today. I'm not in a mood for a fight today. Take it somewhere else. From John in Edmonton, why can't the WHL / OHL get it together? Oh, they are. They are. I've talked with people in Edmonton that say that Rogers Place is an absolute anthill of activity getting ready for the dub season and the World Juniors. It's coming. So find another way to occupy your mind and your time, but it's coming. And I got to say this, I got a lot of people writing me saying, what's the deal on the Sim broadcast, your esports league, the CFL simulated playoffs? It is Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern on this very Facebook Live channel. We're broadcasting a doubleheader. It's round one of the CFL playoffs in the top six format. Saskatchewan and Calgary got a bye on this division semifinal weekend because they finished in the top two spots. So the 4-5 game is Toronto and Ottawa at 5 p.m. Eastern. The second game is the 3-6 game, BC Lions at Saskatchewan. Tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern, right here. I'm excited that so many people are excited about our games. There's a lot of people that are saying, haven't watched all year, but I want to watch now.
It's the time. Playoff
yeah.
time. Yeah, playoff time. It's ready to go.
This is going to be the talk down the road. This is what it's going to be in years ahead. Oh, I don't watch the Sim regular season. I just get excited in the playoffs.
It's like the NBA.
Major League Baseball, the whole thing. Rockstar of the day yesterday was Dave Hodge. Can I say it again? God, I admire him. He's a stud. Hey, Lynch.
Right. All-time stud.
All-time stud. I thought that was Alan the intern, the Asian sensation.
That's bona fide stud.
Oh, bona fide stud.
Dave is the all-time stud. One day, Alan.
He knows it, too.
I know he knows it. and that's about all I got, although I can't believe it didn't make my top six. That the NBA has voted in favor of starting their season December 22nd, a full 72-game schedule. And what I'm excited about there is for those that think that we won't have anything to talk about on this show on a daily basis, dude, we went 4 months without sports this summer. Everybody conveniently forgets that. And we got through it.
Oh, no problem.
So if we got to talk about the NBA, there's still the Raptors. And the NFL's playing. And we're going to have World Juniors. And we're going to be fine. And those that aren't playing are going to get left in the dust. And that's their responsibility, not ours. Is Tori ready? Yes, sir. Okay. This has been the warm-up. On the way, John Frenzy, Drew Tate, a lot of you, and a lot of us. We'll be right back. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
It is, and our NFL insiders loaded up and ready to go. I just want to read a comment from viewer Brett Taylor, who says, you can be offended by any name if you try hard enough. Someone started a social media protest about the Krakens, and I thought that one was safe. Listen, I'm not in the mood. Stop being offended, please. And that goes to the get over it. And I don't have it in me today to go down that road. Because I want to chat with our good friend, Tory Gurley, who joins us from Toronto. Our NBA or NFL insider. Sorry, Tory. They're rattling me. How you doing, Tory?
I'm good, man. How you guys doing over there?
Very, very good. Can you please, let's ease into this by talking about last night's Thursday night football matchup. Green Bay just spanking the 49ers 34-17. Should anything be read into that game because of how undermanned the 49ers were?
No, you can't pound your chest after a victory of that sort. The 49ers are just decimated by injuries, and Green Bay did exactly what they were supposed to do. I love the philosophy of killing an ant with a sledgehammer. You know, if a team is down, you keep them down, get them out of the way, so you can allow your backups to get some meaningful playing time, because eventually you're going to need that depth if you're trying to make a Super Bowl run. So, you know, the Niners are just down with so many injuries. Nick Mullins he just looked like he was out of his league, and the Packers defense just created enough havoc to turn the ball over and put Aaron in an easy position to score. He and Davante Adams.
Lynch, you're fumbling around there. Are your headphones on or are they not on?
They're on. No.
You're good. Okay. Let me ask you this. USA Today's power rankings have these. Top three, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Seattle. Bottom three, from the worst, Jets. Maybe I'll go this way. Jets, Jacksonville, Dallas. Any arguments with those?
I wouldn't have Pittsburgh number one. I think they benefited on just playing, I'm not going to call it easy schedule, but a favorable schedule. You know, a lot of the teams that Pittsburgh has beaten has a lot of blemishes. And I'm a firm believer to be the best, you got to beat the best. And right now, Kansas City, you know, they have one loss under their belt, but still these guys they can turn it on at any time. So I think that's going to be the biggest test, is the AFC is going to run through Kansas City, and we're going to see, you know, if someone can dethrone the champ.
You think Baltimore should be in there?
No. I was one of the few people that thought Lamar Jackson was going to regress this year. And the reason why is because just because you're a great athlete doesn't make you a great quarterback. And this past year, in his MVP season, he was able to get away with things with scrambling out of the pocket and using his athletic ability. But now there's a blueprint to beat him. If you force him to quarterback his way to winning games, he struggles at it. You know, he doesn't like being in a pocket. He struggles seeing his reads, you know, from check down to touchdown. And those are the basics that a lot of young quarterbacks learn, because they don't have the supreme ability of a Lamar Jackson. See, whenever in doubt with him, he was able to use his superpowers in college and his first 2 years in the NFL with being able to just run. Literally, he could just outrun everyone. And now they have him boxed in, and it shows why a guy of Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, someone that's 20 years into the league, while they're still playing at a high level, is because they can think the game. And eventually, I think Lamar is going to get there. But right now, he's just having growing pains.
What do you think will be the better game this week? AB and Tom Brady against the Saints in that first place showdown in the South? Or Miami, Arizona, Tua versus Kyler? Those are both very delicious matchups.
Well, the way the schedule is set up, I think is great, because you get to watch both games. You know, you have a game that come on at 4:00 Eastern, and then Brady and Drew Brees are the primetime game on Sunday night. So you get the best of both worlds. But obviously, it's got to be Brady and Breeze, you know, Tampa versus New Orleans, because this right here is for the division. New Orleans was able to take full advantage of Tom Brady that first week. He had no preseason, no OTAs, and they went out there and got a win. But now, with it being 9 weeks into the season, I think this is going to be a different outcome. And, you know, I can see the Bucs winning big in this situation because these division games count as two. It's very important. Like, you can't make it to the playoffs without winning your division. So that's the most convenient way. And I think with them doing that, it'd be a huge boost to the Buccaneers and their morale as they go forward on this playoff run.
And you love them picking up ABA.
Yeah, well, that's Tom Brady's guy. You know, I'm not a fan of it. You know, I thought that the NFL was going to make an example of Antonio Brown and keep him on ice for another year. But obviously, we all know in this business is about production and talent. And you can't win championships with a bunch of church boys. So, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they decided to go out there and go get Antonio Brown because they understand the talent he possessed. And if Tom Brady is going to vouch for him and babysit him, literally babysit him at home, and Derek Jeter's 10-bedroom mansion, I think it's something that it just shows, like, this guy's really committed to winning. And if Antonio can do it, man, it'd be a great comeback story for him. But if not, man, we just understand, like, this is just how it goes. But Tom Brady is all in when it comes to winning championships, and it doesn't matter. You know, I've seen him do it with guys like Josh Gordon, Antonio Brown. I mean, it doesn't matter. He just wants to win.
By the way, the two quarterbacks in that game, Breeze and Brady, a combined 84 years of age. So, Lynch, that's almost like you out there throwing
it is almost
on,
like
on Sunday. Torrey, he's got more for you, but we need to get to Torrey's tips for Wheaton Kia. What do you got here in week 9?
All right, Torrey's tips. This is like our favorite time of the week. Hopefully everyone has been following along because we've been doing such a great job. Hopefully those DraftKings or FanDuel accounts have been going up with money because you've been listening to our picks. So we'll start off with Teddy Bridgewater. This week he matches up against the Kansas City Chiefs. I know a lot of people are probably think, why not get Patrick Mahomes? But it's all about value. I think Teddy Bridgewater is a guy, he's very underrated. But lately, if you go check out his stats, he's been top 10 in the league when it comes to touchdowns and completions, and that's something that you look for in a quarterback. So getting him for a great price at $6,000, be right on time. I like Le'Veon Bell in this spot. I think moving towards the second half of the season, the Kansas City is really going to want to stamp their identity on their run game. And when you have a guy like Le'Veon Bell, you're going to give him more carries to get himself ready for the attrition of being playoff football, the intensity. So getting him those touches, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still going to play well, but I think Le'Veon is going to be a guy that gets the bulk of the carries moving forward just to get him ready. Melvin Gordon is they're going down to Atlanta, the Denver Broncos, Atlanta Falcons. I don't believe in Atlanta's defense. I think it's going to be high scoring. So taking Melvin Gordon, a dual threat running back that can catch out of the backfield and run between the tackles. I love Robbie Anderson. I just think the Kansas City Chiefs defense, they can turn it on and turn it off whenever they want to. But I think this game right here, they kind of sleepwalk and, you know, just allow points to be scored because they really don't have anything to play for. They know they're going to win the game, but they could care less about trying to shut someone out and put a goose egg on the board. One of my top players, another receiver is Julio Jones. This guy's just a stud. You know, I know a lot of talk has been about DK Metcalf, but DK Metcalf wish he was Julio Jones. This guy's still top five in the league. He's been doing it for 10 years strong, and you just got to pay respect to a guy that can go out there and get you 200 yards receiving and a couple touchdowns. I like Curtis Samuel. Anyone that's been following us since the beginning of the season, I love to get a quarterback and a wide receiver combo. So when I'm watching the game, I'm cheering for that quarterback to get it to my receiver. So, like I was saying about the Kansas City Chiefs defense, I just think they're going to go out there and just kind of sleepwalk through this game. A guy like Curtis Samuel can get a lot of touches. Christian McCaffrey is coming back, but I don't think they're going to give him a bunch of carries because he's coming back off a high ankle sprain. I think they're slowly going to get him back into it. So, you know, expect Curtis Samuel to get carries in the backfield as well as lining up at receiver and getting some passes. I like Eric Ebron of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're playing against the Dallas Cowboys, and there is no D in Dallas. They're like Alice, A-L-L-A-S. So definitely take him. He's in a prime position, and a lot of players don't understand this. Well, a lot of fans don't understand this. Whenever you get a chance to go to Dallas and play in that nice stadium, it brings out the best in you because you know everyone is at home watching. So expect Pittsburgh to go out there and put up a bunch of points and then probably take their foot off the gas. And last but not least, you got to get a quarterback's best friend, and why not have Travis Kelce? So with us going cheap at quarterback, it allowed us the opportunity to get some high-end skilled players like a Travis Kelce. This guy has been in the end zone almost every week. Patrick Mahomes loves him. He makes it extremely easy for Pat to go out there and pat those stats. So, and last but not least, we were just talking about Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. I think they're going to lose on Sunday, and the reason why is going to be because of the Colts defense. The way these guys are getting after it, they have four down linemen that can get pressure. That means you don't have to blitz. They constantly just get pressure with a four-man rush, and whenever you can do that, it wrecks the game plan of any offensive coordinator, and it puts fear in Lamar Jackson knowing that he has pressure on him the entire time. So that's Tory Tips for this week.
All right, Lynch has some more questions now.
Okay,
for
really surprised about Andy Reid going to get out and getting Le'Veon Bell. Great running back, I think, but he's had a heck of a time lately in the last 3 years with Pittsburgh and the Jets. He was just absolutely useless. Is that a good acquisition, do you think, for Kansas City?
Of course. If you watched him last week, he went out and played well against his former team. He was, obviously they played the Jets, and it just showed different ways they can get him the ball. And then his first week was 2 weeks ago against the Denver Broncos. He played extremely well and popped some big runs. So styles make fights, and sometimes it's all about being in the right fit. Regardless of how talented you are, if your coaching staff and your quarterback is bad, you just can't, you can't put lipstick on a pig, or it's not smart to spray Axe or cologne over your clothes when they've been musty a few days. You just got to have you got to throw them in a washer and dryer and then give yourself a chance to regroup. So with Le'Veon, this is a fresh breath of air. This guy's going to go out and play well just because Andy Reid know how to use talented football players like himself.
Tory, last one for you. I want to swing it over to the CFL for a second because it is Flame Tech Football Friday. When you said about going to Dallas and Jerry's World as the road team, everybody geared up for that as the visitor. Was that not the same at Mosaic Stadium with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? You were in the CFL long enough to know if that was the case. Can you talk about that coming into the football shrine here?
Of course. I think that was one of my favorite stadiums to play at. If it wasn't Tim Hortons Field, it was Mosaic Stadium, because you just know the fans, regardless of the Riders' record, the fans were going to be there. You can expect you can see the watermelons on their heads. They're probably full of alcohol, feeling good about themselves, and they really interacted with the opposing team. Like, they booed you every chance they got, or anytime you went to the sideline and you had some Gatorade, you can expect to hear like some trash talk. And that's what really get a lot of guys going. So anyone who's ever lost to me while I was out there playing, it was because of the fans. It wasn't the player. Like, the fans pissed me off. It made me want to play better, and we went out there and won the game. So I appreciate all those fans that are kind of like talking trash to me in Saskatchewan, because sometimes that's all it takes to get a great guy going.
Yeah, I mean, that can reverse psychology hurt the home team, but in the end, if you're the Riders, you want that, right? You want a hostile environment. Like, fans weren't doing anything wrong. Yeah,
of course, because that holds you accountable. I've seen the fans boo the Riders when they went out and played bad, so that lets you know that football means a lot to that city. It's all about winning and putting out the best product, and if not, the fans will let you know about it.
I thought Jerry Johnson looked terrible the other night. They took some shots of him in the stands. And
Jerry Jones,
I should say. And he was really down. I've never seen that down, Tory. I guess it's one of those years they got to put up with it. But he was really down, depressed. He doesn't like to lose.
That's 2020 in a nutshell. Just when you thought you have it figured out, you get hit with some curveballs. They had so many injuries, especially to Dak Prescott and along that high-paid offensive line. And now you're just trying to you're just trying to stay afloat. You know, you're just fighting to literally just stay on the board. And right now, it's just been bad for him, and it's only going to get worse.
Torrey, I appreciate the time as always. This has been fantastic. And I'm also excited that Sportsnet was men of their word. They came to me, said they were watching you, and all of a sudden, boom, they got you on there talking NFL. So that is fantastic. Way to go. I'm very proud of you. Say hey to Kim for me, of course, and enjoy week 9, my friend.
Yes, sir. You guys take care. Thanks for having me.
Torrey Gurley, our NFL insider. Follow him on Twitter at TGurley81, and follow his picks on FanDuel. Both he and Lynch, brought to you by Wheaton Kia. You can find them in North Regina, corner of Albert and Avonhurst. We'll be right back. We got a sports update coming up. It's the RP Show and a Flame Tech Football Friday right here on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Saw the commercial there for the Rams 50-50. They are making the draw on November 23rd. So you got a couple weeks to buy your tickets at ReginaRams5050.com. And I got to get a shout out there, too, from Len Antonini, our good friend Lenny from Regina Minor Football. They're doing an online 50-50 as well. The draw is November 10th. That's next Tuesday on Facebook Live. You can buy yours at rmf@reginaminorfootball.ca. You can email that, rmf@reginaminorfootball.ca. And I said, hey, you know, the Rams have commercials on here for that. And Lenny says, well, maybe don't mention ours. I said, no, the Rams won't have a problem. It's for football. But these fundraisers are so important for the heartland of football here, which, by the way, is not playing. And I'll kick this around here a little more, too. John Frenzy with me, football near and dear to both of our hearts. The poll question today is for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Do you think the CFL will play in 2021? Now, some people in the league might be upset that we're even asking that question, but hang on. 47% of you say yes, they think they will. 33% say no, and 20% are undecided. That's pretty darn split. Yeah. Like, split pretty evenly. And I see on Facebook that the leader is yes, they will, 57% on Facebook. Andrew Harris coming out yesterday and saying in a Winnipeg newspaper that he can't see them playing next year. And I know where he's coming from, and DuPont and I got in a bit of a face-off. Maybe that could have been the face-off. Maybe we'll do it next hour for Ultimate Fan Zone. Yeah, Mad Greek. We'll wait till for DuPont to come back in and we'll do it again. But he's saying, hey, you can play to 50% capacity. They're doing it in the WHL. They're doing it in these other places. So the CFL can do it. Well, the CFL people that I'm talking to are saying, if that was the case, why didn't we do it this year?
A lot of people.
And incidentally, the WHL hasn't done it yet either.
No.
So I think it's an incredibly, incredibly fair question to ask if this league plays next year. So that's my monologue. Lynch, what's yours? Well, how would you vote on that poll and why?
Yeah, I think we'll be playing next year. I'm getting it all the time. You should take a count how many people you talk to during the week. I have 7 this week so far. But I'm really concerned about it. There's a lot of concern out there. Diehard fans, you know, it say how much it means to their life and their marriage and everything else. I didn't know it meant mention the marriage, by the way. But anyway, that's interesting. Yes, people want it. I think there's enough going on out there. My heart wants it. Talking to players, they want it. I think it's a critical thing, most critical. If we don't have it this year and we try to stall it for another year to the year when we're going to have the Grey Cup here next year, 22, we can't go ahead. It just won't go ahead. You just can't go that. You just can't let it go that far for 2 years. I think there's enough genuine interest out there and concern that the league will be there and we'll play football in some kind of shape. And it might be a 7-team league with only 12 games, that type of thing. We've got to be prepared to change what we have normally, what we're used to make it successful, to keep it going. And that's the thing that fans have to realize. It quite probably will be a smaller league with lesser games. And it's football. What can you say? It's football. We've had a pretty great league here. It's been fantastic. The CFL, you got to admit, fans out there, has been outstanding. Fantastic football. Very, very exciting. And I love it. You guys all love it out there. All you fans love it. Pretty hard to take what's going on now. couple that with the fermenting their throat there, it's a bad, bad time. But Rod, a lot of it's hope. But I just think there's too many good guys in this town to let it fall apart, isn't there?
We're, I guess, going to find out, but I think about that longtime CFL coach that told me last summer, at the beginning of the summer, he said, we're going to find out how much this country loves the CFL. This was last summer. We found out, all right. We got a no from the government, and the league couldn't get onto the field. And I don't know how much money's been raised by various fundraisers either. So it's damn scary. Hang on, by the way. I like this. Prairie Mobile text line is open at 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel mobility dealer. From the 403, he says, as far as the Edmonton Eskimos football team name change, I'm at the point of not giving a crap. Which, by the way, is worse. That's the one thing where I and CFL leaders differ. I think they would prefer not to be talked about at all. And I think that's 10 times worse for you guys and girls. But they don't agree. And we will never agree on that. From the 780, it's estimated that the name change will cost the Edmonton Football Club $1 million to complete, says Global News Edmonton. Then they must feel really strongly about it, wouldn't you say, that they really want to change the name?
I can't believe they would. And it's been there since 1949. And nobody's complained until 2 years ago. And the pressure was so much that they felt they had to cave into it. So we'll see what they get up with. But I don't think it's going to be Elk. Probably Empire.
We'll see.
I'm betting on Empire.
I hope it's Empire. I mean, it's the whole business of being offended. So British colonialism, so we're not going to name them the Empire. I've been a fan of the CFL since I was a little kid. I know that the nickname's been the Evil Empire forever. And I just thought Star Wars. So, because it means one thing to you and something else to something else, because this person's offended, we can't have it. Stop being offended.
Now, Ottawa's had three changes, eh?
Ottawa. Well, that's for different reasons. Renegades. I don't think anybody was, what they were offended by in Ottawa was how they ran the football team.
Yeah.
That's why they kept changing the name. Jason White writes in and says, come on, people, let's support RMF and the Rams 50-50. These are two top-notch programs. They need our support. You're right, Whiter.
Right on there.
And by the way, we will be running a CFL Sim 50-50 for reels. We'll have a Grey Cup Sim, and we'll be broadcasting on this Facebook Live channel, and we'll be running the Rams 50-50 during that game. We're excited about that. John in Edmonton says, cancel culture, Rod. I understand how it works. Yeah. Mandy in Edmonton goes on to say, sponsors. I'm glad you brought that up, Mandy, and we do have to break here. Don't we, Clark? Yeah, we do, but just with the sponsors. I was just thinking the other day about that little rant that I went on about how you can't run your team based on the sponsors. You can't allow the sponsors to dictate how you do business as a team. And while it subsided somewhat, that was about 2 months ago, I look back and I see the sponsors won in the case of the Edmonton Football Club.
Yep.
I'm digging my heels in and doubling down and saying even more so you can't be dictated by your sponsors. Because guess what? Sponsors come and go. And if the Edmonton football team had a backbone, they would be standing up to the sponsors and saying, okay, you know what, Eskimos? Because there's a lot of people that do feel that that's offensive. So yes, got nothing to do with sponsors. It's our own thinking. But if it's you're offended by the Empire, you're offended by this or that, then say, okay, Bel Air Direct and Boston Pizza, you name the damn team.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. That could happen. They make it once, they make that change to the Empire, 3 more years from now, somebody else will want to name to what they've got. It's setting a precedent. Scary. I don't like it.
Now we're getting all into people are getting upset, which is actually a good thing. Maybe we'll continue this, but what I know is we do have to take a break. So we'll be right back. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back. This is unbelievable. I can't believe that on this Friday, November the 6th, coming to you from the sweatpants capital here with Canada's daytime sports talk show, that we've just lit a fire with the name Eskimos. I didn't wake up today thinking that was going to happen. I'll tell you that for free. Jack in Alberta says, Rod, I heard that the Inuit community are honored to have the Eskimo name attached to a pro team. So if they're good with it, why the change? Sponsors? Seriously? From Ricky Kazama from Ballers Rec Room. He writes in, I'm going to see you guys at lunch, by the way. He says, my view as a sponsor is you sponsor because you endorse or support and believe in something. Obviously, that Eskimo sponsor believed and supported for years. Why now does that sponsor have an issue? If that sponsor really had an issue, they should have just pulled their support. My opinion. I just got word this week, though, that there was a lot of sway in the CFL head office that they felt the name Eskimos was offensive. So
the head office.
That's what I was told, yeah. So I know. But I just know this. We got a sponsor here. Actually, I'm going to say it. Flame Tech, combustion services. Your industry leader in combustion services. We were up there last Saturday having lunch with Denton, the guy that owns it. And he goes, Rod, I don't need to sponsor my boiler company. I don't need to advertise it. But I want to sponsor you because you stick up for Saskatchewan and Saskatchewan business and supporting each other, which is exactly what I do. So I want to support you. So there's an idea of how it should work. Yeah. And thank you, Denton. I got to read this sports update. Speaking of ballers, Aaron Rodgers threw for 305 yards and 4 touchdowns, and the Green Bay Packers overwhelmed the undermanned 49ers 34-17 on Thursday Night Football. Rodgers connected on deep shots to Davante Adams and Marquez Valdez-Scantling and a short toss to Mercedes Lewis in the first half to get the Packers out to a 21-3 lead over the Niners. Las Vegas Raiders coach John Gruden and the team have been fined a total $650,000 U.S. and docked a sixth-round draft pick for repeated violations of COVID-19 protocols. Woo-hoo! Oh, at what point are they mad at Gruden? The owners.
I'd like to know what that's all about.
Brent Snedeker found a lot of fairways and greens at difficult Memorial Park to open with a 5-under 65 and a 2-stroke lead at the Houston Open. It's the first domestic PGA Tour event to have fans since the Players' Championship on March 12th. Blue Jays right fielder Teoscar Hernandez has won a Silver Slugger Award for the first time in his career. The 28-year-old Hernandez broke out as the game's top slugger in the shortened 2020 season for the Toronto Blue Jays. I can't wait for next season already, Lynch.
Oh.
For the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
This sports update for Ballers Rec Room, now booking your company Christmas parties. They can help with all your fun and sports and food needs. Visit ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings.
Christmas is what, 6 weeks away? 5 weeks away.
Christmas is about 6 weeks away. Why do you ask?
Because it scares me. Time flies.
Next hour, Drew Tate from the Spring League with Lynch and DuPont, too. We'll see you on Game Plus TV Network, or keep rolling with us right here on Facebook Live. Hour two coming up, everybody. This show is like a pasture of goats.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.